This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this. Such a wonderful opportunity to be in your presence. And so, God, as you are in our presence and we're in yours, do what you will tonight, God. Take the word that we're trying to teach, and the Holy Ghost will reveal to each of us where we are spiritually. Enlighten us, inform us, inspire us, and then lift us to the next level, God, that we might operate in these things that we come to know tonight. And God, we give you the praise and glory for the saints who made the sacrifice. The devil is a liar. There are some folk who had to press their way to get here tonight, God. And that's why we give you praise and glory, because we know that you are not going to disappoint our expectation tonight. And so we say thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Come on, give him praise and glory. Bless him, bless him, bless him. Glory to God. Bless him. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Faithful is our God. Faithful is our God. How many of you know God is just so wonderful, so worthy of all praise, all glory, all honor tonight? Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe with all of my heart that this word tonight that we are going to be dealing with, no matter where you are on your Christian journey, your growth and development, I believe that in this area, God is still working on you. Because I know he's still working on me in this area. And I want you to prepare tonight to study the benefits of patience. The benefits of patience. Is there anybody in the house still need a little more patience? He ain't through with me yet. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. What is patience? I want to get a little class participation tonight. I want you to lift your hands and give me what you consider patience to be. Patience. What is patience? Anybody?
Perfect work.
Patience is a perfect work. Oh, waiting on the Lord. Okay, that's what you said. Waiting on the Lord. All right. What else is patience? Enduring. Serving while you're waiting. Okay. Patience is loving. Okay. Long suffering. Is that what you said? Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't hear. Okay. And someone else? Patience is a bearing under. Let me just give you two words of what patience is. Calm endurance. Calm. You've got so many extended versions of what patience is, but bottom line, it's calm endurance. Now, patience is the derivative of patient. And so I defined it, and I want us to see it. Patient. is where we get patience from. It's enduring pain, trouble, etc., without complaining, calmly tolerating delay, not denial, calmly tolerating confusion, etc. It's you calmly allowing what is happening to happen without it fraying your nerves. And when you are patiently waiting, you recognize that though it may be delayed, that it is not denial. So you don't start acting like it's denial just because it's delayed. And see, the devil wants you to start acting like you're a loser even before the battle is over. Because if you start acting like a loser, then you actually start positioning things to start going the devil's way instead of your way. Because you have lost. Listen, when you lose your cool, how many of you know you begin to speak things you ought not speak? You allow your emotions to lose control and grip, and you start feeling some stuff you ought not feel. And on and on and on. So you lose that calmness, and that calmness is connected with the peace that God gives you because you know God's got this thing fixed. Now listen at this. It's diligent persevering. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Now, whether I believe it or not, it's still settled. But for me, when I add my faith to it, it settles it in my situation. His word, the word declares, is settled in heaven for how long? Forever. So that's not going to change. It's not going to vacillate. It's not going to decrease. It's not going to diminish. That's settled. That's a final and fixed reality. But when I attach my faith to that, then in my life, that same word that's established forever becomes a living, integral part of my existence, which means then I have the benefit of what God settled forever in heaven, and the devil in hell can't do nothing about it. So that's what patience is. Let's kind of go through scripture right quick and just look at some of the benefits of patience. Psalm 37 and 7, very familiar verse of scripture. And notice what it says. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, or wicked schemes to pass. Now, the first word gives us a helpful, holy hint as to our position in the Lord when we have learned patience, and that is rest. What are you resting in? What are you secure in? What are you confident in? It is in that that God has said. It is in that that God has promised. It is in that God will produce. You see, if I begin to know the word of God and understand the will of God, I begin to realize that what God says he's gonna do, he's gonna do. I can't do it for God. I can't make God do it before he's ready. And when I realize that he loves me better than I love myself, know me better than I know myself, know that what he has for me is better than I could ever ask for myself, then his timing is better than I could ever know. So when I realize that God has delayed a situation in my life, it is because he's either working on me or he's working on it. And he's not gonna give me what he has for me if I can't enjoy it to the fullest. So if it's delayed, I can't act like it's denied because he promised it to me. Jeremiah is one very good example. If you look, Jeremiah was a child or a very, very young man when God made him a promise that how he would use him, how he would speak to him, how he would pull down and root up and plant and build and all of these different things. And it was decades later before the reality of that came to pass, so much so Jeremiah found himself in a dungeon, ready to give up on God because he thought delay was denial. And he said, I will neither speak in this name anymore or minister in essence in this name because you have kept me in derisions. You've literally made a fool out of me. I've been telling these folk, you said you're gonna do this and you're gonna do that, and they're telling me prove it, and you ain't showing up when I tell them you're gonna show up. Now I give up. So God said, okay, Jeremiah, I tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna just stir up what you already got in you. And he just stirred up Jeremiah in the word that was already placed in him. And he said, in his own words, I could not stay. Meaning I couldn't quit. I couldn't stay in that the way that I was in, the mindset that I was in, or the way that I was going, because God's word reminded me of his promises. And the fact that he stirred me up is evidence enough that he's still in control of the situation. And every now and then God deals with you and he does some things in you and he shakes you up and stirs you up to remind you, I have not forgotten my promise to you. I have not turned my back on you. You don't know what I'm up here doing. You need to be patient and wait till I get through doing what I'm doing for you, because in the end you're going to see what I said was so. And see, when you remember God is doing all of the work, all you got to do is wait on him. Rest in him. Now listen at this. If you are resting in him, the wait goes by a whole lot easier. It's when you get all messed up in the head and the mind and you get all stressed out and you get, you know, all antsy and filled with anticipation that it seems like the time just won't go by. But when you rest in the Lord, then that means, listen again, and this is another reason why I think you need to be careful to hear this word and understand it. Because when God finally delivers what it is he promised, you're going to need all the energy you got. I mean, there are a whole lot of folk who lay down and sleep but don't rest. And listen, if you rest, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to sleep. It means to be confident. It means to be secure in that God says. You're resting in that. You're not unnerved. You're not bothered. You're not shaken. You're not frazzled. You are trusting God for that. Rest in the Lord. Look at what the word says. And wait patiently for him. Patiently for him, not the situation, not your trouble, your trial, your tribulation, your this, that, and the other. You're waiting on God. Again, you're waiting on God because God is in control. And God is not just in control of you. He's in control of everything connected with you, concerning you, surrounding you. And when you know that, that brings, again, that peace that God wants. And notice what the word says, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Now, you know, most times we don't realize it, but the devil don't do no whole lot of fretting to you. You do it to yourself. Notice the word doesn't say, and let not the devil fret thy nerves. It doesn't say, don't let the devil bother you. It says, fret not thyself. Let me tell you how you start fretting. When you take your eyes, your mind, and your focus off of God and put it on man. And because what happens is you start judging then. Instead of waiting on God, you start judging the situation. Well, God, I'm better than her. I'm better than him. I serve you and love you and do better than he does or she does. And you start doing all of this and you start fretting because you feel like God has been unjust in the situation. They don't serve you. They're not committed. They don't do that. And then all of that, that's not your position. That is not your position, because God is still in control. And God makes clear in this word, listen to what he says in the rest of it. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, not God's way, in his own way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, wicked schemes to pass. Psalm 73 gives us a very clear picture of what happens. Even if they get it in their hands, they ain't gonna be able to hold on to it. And any way other than God's way, you won't be able to hold on to it even if you get your hands on it. Now, I asked earlier, how many of you had some good things in your life and lost them? The person that's not raising their hand is lying right now, and you can expect them to lose a whole lot more than they've already lost. Now, I'm here to tell you this, because if it's not the will of God for your life, or the season of God for your life, and you do all that you can do to try, like the evil men do, the wicked folk do, that they concoct, they compromise, they do everything else to get what they want to get, but they can't keep it. And then truth of the matter is they can't enjoy it while they're trying to hold on to it. You ain't got no rest and no peace and no stuff like that. I mean, when God gives you peace about whatever it is he gives you, he gives you the ability to enjoy it Even from the word go, when he says he's going to do it, you begin to receive in your spirit, man, the enjoyment, the fulfillment out of knowing God gave this to me. It's mine. It's what God has willed for my life. Now, the next thing I've got to work on is to stay focused on him, rest in him till he delivers it to me. I told the church earlier today, it's like when we were younger, and some of us still do it, Sears and JCPenney and all them put out Christmas book called Wish Books and so forth and so on. Children used to go through the wish book and see what they want, and then they go ask mom and daddy, can I have this for Christmas? And the moment mom and daddy say, yeah, you can have that, those children begin from that moment to live in the hope of receiving that. They don't wait till Christmas morning to get excited about it. They get excited about it right now. I'm going to get that mama's and daddy's for Christmas. And they start right then planning their little lives around what they're going to get for Christmas. Well, now, some of us need to have that kind of understanding about what God promises us. God, you said it's mine. If you said I can have it, I ain't got to wait till I get it to get excited about it. Matter of fact, I begin to live in hope. I begin to live in expectation. I'm preparing my life for it to come in now, and I'm going to enjoy that thing. And so then your mindset and everything about that, when God gives it, rest in the fact that it's on the way. And if it's on the way, you ought to be prepared for it to come here. So when it gets here, it will find you in that mindset and in that place to receive and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Lamentations, right after Jeremiah, if you don't mind, chapter 3, verse 25. Lamentations. Look at what it says, verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Verse 26 says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation or deliverance of the Lord. But you can't really get the fullness of that until you're back to verse 24. And look at what it says. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Now, if the Lord is your portion, then that means that God, again, is in control of everything, and everything that you're expecting is going to come from God. If it's going to come from God, you're looking to God for the deliverance of it or the manifestation of that. You are taking your eyes and your mind off of people, places, problems and situations, circumstances. You are keeping your focus on God. If you keep your focus on God, who is your portion, then it is God who will deliver just like he said he will when it's the right time. Now, again, because he is your hope, listen, he cannot be persuaded by other folk. He cannot be turned around. God himself is God all by himself, in that he is sovereign to do what he will. If God wants to bless you, do you know there ain't a person in heaven or hell that can do nothing about it? And thank God he don't take recommendations from folk you know. I wish I had a witness here. I'm so glad he knows the whole story, and he bases whatever he does upon his own sovereign will. A whole lot of folk wouldn't receive healing. A whole lot of folk wouldn't receive blessings. A whole lot of folk wouldn't receive favor. A whole lot of folk wouldn't have their situations turned around had man had something to do with it and God listened to his recommendation. Because if he did listen to recommendations, I got a few folk whose names I want to put on a certain list that I want God to deal with. And notice again, my brothers and sisters, just like he would give me that privilege, he'd give you that privilege. And what kind of world would we live in then? Because just like, look, Peter and them were already, Jesus was trying to get to Jerusalem. The Samaritans didn't want him to go through. What did Peter and the rest of the brothers say? Lord, won't you send fire down from heaven just like Elijah did? Burn them up. Now, what if Jesus would have accepted the recommendation of the brethren and burned up all the Samaritans? Would they have been saved then? No, he said, no, you're missing the point, man. I came to seek and to save that which were lost. He will not let anybody divert or in any way divest what he has placed in his own word and in his own will and in his own way. And when we learn how to make him our portion, when we learn how to make him our part, when we learn how to make him our source and supply, we then will begin to walk into the fullness of what God offers. Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. Romans 5, verse 3 and 4. Now, look at this, because again, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified, justification puts you in position. By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Because of the peace we have with God being justified through Jesus Christ, don't underestimate, don't discount this word access.
All right.
Access. Because again, because of this grace that we stand in, because of what Jesus has done for us, I've shared before with you, I hope you get it in your spirit, that because of what Jesus has done for you at Calvary and is now presently doing for you at the right hand of God, you have access to the excess. Access to the excess. What does that mean? That means literally I can stop living day to day, barely making it, whining, crying, complaining, talking about my situation as if I have no other choice. Yes, you do have another choice. But you've got to know that what God promises you is based upon your relationship, your faith, and your fellowship with God. You've got to know what it is you have access to. Otherwise, your access means nothing. If you don't know that there is a storehouse and everything you have need of is in that storehouse, then you won't be too interested in getting in the storehouse. But the only reason why you want to go into the storehouse is because there's excess in the storehouse, which means there's more than sufficient for you and enough for you to be a blessing to somebody else. See, when you get beyond just you and yours and want to be a blessing to whomever God makes you a blessing to, you will then begin to walk in the excess of God. God wants to give you excess, but that is not so you can be wasteful. It is so that you can be helpful. And when you understand he sends a blessing to the one he can send a blessing through, God's going to start sending a whole lot more to you. He's going to be like, Lord, what am I going to do with all this? Give it away. Bless somebody else. And then he's going to tell you who to bless. And until he tells you, hold on to it because they're on the way. I wish I had somebody. How many times have you blessed somebody and God didn't tell you to bless them, and right after you let it go, somebody else had a real need and you didn't have it to bless them? See, you got to be responsible with the excess. You've got to be responsible with the excess, because that part belongs to somebody else. That's more than you need anyhow. That's the overflow that runs from the cup and into the saucer. But some of you are so greedy, you drank all the coffee, then you pick up the salsa. Bless his high and holy name. Now look at this, look at this. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Why? Because you have access to the excess. You glory in the tribulation because you understand the operation. When you understand that God is setting you up so that he can set you up, God's letting you go through what you're going through because on the other side is a celebration for you. When you understand God's got this thing fixed, you glory in your tribulation because you know anything that comes your way has first gone his way. And if he won't put more on you than you can bear, then that means when it comes before you, you can handle it. Tell your neighbor, I don't care what you're going through, you can handle it. And if you ain't sitting close to nobody, say to yourself, I can handle whatever I'm going through. Praise the Lord. Now look at what the word says. You can glory in tribulation, not sorrow. We just get so ugly when we going through stuff. Some of the faces we can make. Have you ever seen babies when they get ready to cry? How they can twist and contort their face like you wouldn't believe. I mean, and what gets me is, I mean, they get all into it so much so, and they take a deep breath. And they just enjoying it themselves. Then later, I mean, they just getting it and building it all up. Now, we are to glory in tribulation. Now, let's say this, because I want you to understand this very clearly. We glory in tribulation, not about tribulation. We glory in, what do you mean, Pastor? When I'm going through, I'm already rejoicing that I'm on my way out. I start getting excited in my tribulation because I know this too shall. And so while I'm going through, and the more I go through, I'm like, Lord, I'm so glad you fixed this thing, and I know I'm coming out of this thing, and I know that's going to be a big party when I get out of here. You know, because when you begin to understand what God is doing through this, he's developing you. He's defining you. He's bringing you to another level. And I've got news for you. Every test you take, the next one coming is on another level. Or if it's on the same level, it's at a further distance than you were before. God doesn't retest you with the same old test. Devil ain't got no new tricks, but if God's going to allow you to go through something, the only reason why you are retested is because you ain't passed the first time. But when you start learning how to glory and not sorrow in your test, why is this happening to me? Because God thought you worthy enough to go through it, be an example of who he has made you to be, and making clear that you're going to stand on the word and let the word develop you into what he put you on the block so that you could be a witness of his goodness. Everybody won't be like Job, but nobody want to go through what he went through. Lord, I want the patience of Job. No, I don't think you really want the patience of Job. You need to pick somebody else, because, you know, not until you're ready to lose 10 children or loved ones in one day. Not until you're ready to lose all of your possessions and become bankrupt in a day. No, you don't really want to be like Job. Not until you have given everything that you have and see it come to naught. No, you don't want to be like Job when the person who's supposed to be your better half tells you to curse God and die. No, you really don't want to be like Job unless you want to go through that. See, because tribulations is the basis and the principle and the foundation for the patience that comes after that. You can't have patience without tribulation. Tribulation is that begins to develop patience. And we're going to see this further in the study. So you got to understand that if you're going to grow, if you're going to become more patient, it's because there are some process steps in a process that must be adhered to before you can ever say, I'm patient. Amen. Look again at Romans 5, 3 and 4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. This next word is very important to understand, for it says knowing. Somebody say knowing. No. Not thinking, not believing, not, you know, imagining, but knowing that tribulation worketh patience. See, when you get to the point when you are glorying in your tribulations, it's because you understand that your tribulation is working patience. God's not letting me go through this for nothing. And in every lesson, there is a blessing. And because I know that when I'm through with this lesson, I'm going to get a blessing, I'm going to glory in this tribulation that I'm going through, or have glory while I'm going through this tribulation, because I know that if it is just a test, if it is just a defining moment in my life or my experience, if it is something that God has allowed and preset limitations upon, that it will not take me out of here. It will not destroy me. God's going to deliver me. And when he does deliver me, it's going to add to my repertoire. It's going to add to my vita. It's going to add to my experiences another thing God has brought me through. And so when the devil then starts bringing his